So we are in the period between Easter and Pentecost. So Jesus has risen, but he's not yet ascended, according to the Gospels, the Gospel stories. So Jesus has been appearing to some of his disciples, and some of those disciples have been empowered in some way, and in other ways they're still timid and afraid and not sure what's going on. And of course, Pentecost is sometimes called the birth of the church. Jesus finally, after I think it's 40 days, if my memory is correct, ascends into heaven to be at the right hand of his Father, and he sends the promised Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the one who will empower those disciples to go on and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But between Easter and Pentecost is this time of uncertainty where the folks who've been with Jesus can't really comprehend what's happened. They've spent these 3 years with Jesus, seeing the highest of highs, seen him raise the dead. They've seen him heal the sick, give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and make the lame walk. And then suddenly, that's all taken away. And Jesus is arrested, trialed, and crucified, and dies. So they're trying to work out what this all means. And I'm quite fascinated with the person of Thomas the Apostle. And when I was doing my ordination training, I did a project on Thomas. And what I had to do was I had to try and imagine things from Thomas's point of view. I don't know how good our imaginations are. Some of us will have more imagination than others. And what I did, I was in Queensland for a conference, and I met with a guy who was a storyteller. And I was encouraged to write a story as in a first-person narrative, actually as if I was Thomas. And I had to present that in the church. And I dressed up in a sheet, and I may have had a towel on my head, I can't remember. And I had to be Thomas. And the church received it. My wife, who's my most honest critic, said it was something like a poor production of a Hamlet school play. So we won't be doing that again. So, but what I want us to do is try and get in touch with our imaginations. This will be easier for some of us than others. But try and imagine that you're in Thomas's place. As Bruce has shared with us, that Thomas was a bit different to the others. And let me guide you through a time where we try and imagine what it would be like for Thomas. Did someone say doubting Thomas? If Thomas was here, I reckon he would say that he wishes he had a shekel for every time someone's called him that, doubting Thomas. Because we weren't there. We don't know what it's like, and I don't think we can understand just the upheaval, the emotional upheaval that Thomas and all the other apostles were going through. As I said, they'd been to the highest of heights and now the lowest of lows. And the life that they had with Jesus, which they thought was on the verge of a triumphal revelation of the Messiah, was suddenly cut short with the torture and death of Jesus Christ. So they were perplexed. They were confused. They were emotional. And it all started on the third day. Those disciples got up that morning, and the women, the Marys and the other women, came from the tomb. And they said, "We went to visit the tomb, and it was empty. Jesus' body wasn't there. But yet, we saw Jesus, and he's alive." Dead people don't come back to life, do they? Well, maybe Jesus rose people from death. Of course, those people died again. But they said, "He's different." And I can imagine just being in the amount of confusion, upheaval those folks were in the midst of, and thinking that maybe this was just a hallucination. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when there's someone who's not with you any longer, but you swear you saw him walking through the door. I used to walk out the back door and see my dog run around the side of the house to get his morning breakfast, but I'd had him put down a week before. Sometimes you imagine things. So maybe they thought These folks were just imagining things. And, you know, Thomas had to go out that day. And when he came back, they're all carrying on the same way. We've seen Jesus. He's alive. Now, Thomas, one thing that they, if you know Thomas's story, they say he was a builder. And Thomas is also called Didymus. Does anyone know what Didymus means? The twin. Thomas had a twin. We don't know if the twin was a male or a female. The fact in that culture, being a male-centered culture, the fact that he's mentioned as being a twin, it probably suggests that his twin was another male. And Thomas was a builder. Jesus was a carpenter. A lot of the other disciples were fishermen. Thomas was a builder. Now, if you know anything about builders, they like things to be black and white, facts and figures, concrete facts and figures. You see what I did there? Sorry, I didn't hear that. So, for Thomas, seeing is believing. He will not believe anything unless he sees it. Otherwise, it's just speculation. It's just emotion. And we know emotions can play tricks on us. Our mind can play tricks on us. They were saying, we've seen the Lord. And what would he say? How can I believe you because you're a fisherman? Can you believe a fisherman? Can you believe a fisherman, Bruce? How big was the fish? How many of them were there? Thomas, there's a suggestion that Thomas was different, and maybe he thought of himself a bit different. The guy I met in Brisbane said he imagined Thomas sitting by the Sea of Galilee with Jesus while the others were sleeping and Jesus was up praying, that maybe Thomas and him had this a more of an intimate connection as they sat by the Sea of Galilee one night. But Thomas would probably be ashamed now to say that he thought himself somehow better, somehow different. But he'd seen amazing things. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah because no one else could do the things that Jesus did unless God was with them. To heal the sick, to raise the dead, to speak with authority. Only the Messiah could do that. They knew that he was the Messiah. He wasn't the first one to realize that Jesus was the Messiah. That's put down to Peter as the one who realized that Jesus was the Christ of God. But how would Thomas have spent that week? If you read that account of Thomas there in John chapter 20, it said it was a week later, Thomas came back, the disciples were saying, we've seen Jesus. And he said, I will not believe unless I see his hands and put my finger in them. I will not believe unless I see his side and put my hand in there. And he would have spent a week thinking, what have I done? I've just spent 3 years with this guy. I pinned all my hopes and dreams and my future on this guy, and now he's gone. And he would be thinking to himself, we thought he was the Messiah. The signs were there. Did I get it wrong? Did I follow a phony, a ghost, a charlatan, a deceiver? How could we have been so sure and yet have been so wrong? And now what am I going to do with my life now that Jesus is gone? Can you imagine? That's a week. That's a long time. How long it would have been that week as Thomas contemplated his future and his past and his present. And then a week later, the disciples were together again. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And remember, Thomas had been the one, as Bruce shared, Thomas had been the one that said, we will go down to Bethany after Lazarus died. We will go down to Bethany and die at the hands of the Jews if we have to. But after Jesus was gone, he was there locked in the room with the others, just as afraid as they were. And suddenly, Jesus appears. Out of nowhere, in a locked room, And Thomas sees with his own eyes the risen Lord. It was him, but different. The risen Lord, not the earthly Jesus, but the risen one. And can you imagine the emotions and the thoughts that would have been going through Thomas's heart and Thomas's mind as he saw Jesus with his own eyes? It would have been as if just two of them were in the room. There would have been these feelings of confusion and yet clarity, fear and yet joy, despair but hope, all at the same time. Now I said, Thomas wasn't the first one to realize that Jesus was the Messiah, but Thomas was the first one to realize that Jesus was God in the flesh. Only God could be raised from the dead and be changed and enter a locked room. And as he realized, he couldn't stop himself but say, "My Lord and my God." He was the one who realized that Jesus is fully man and fully God in one person. God in the flesh, come to visit us. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And Thomas was prepared to do anything for the service of Christ. He was prepared to go anywhere. And as Bruce has alluded to, Thomas traveled a great distance from the Middle East. Well, he went to Syria, he went to Persia, and we believe he spent 20 years in India. And there are still places in India where there are churches who they believe trace the founding of that church back to the time of Thomas 2,000 years ago. He went anywhere to serve the Lord, and he died for it as well. And you might say that Thomas is blessed. And blessed he is. Blessed he is to have the risen Jesus come before him, reveal himself to him, and commission him to go on. But what did Jesus say to Thomas? In verse 29 of John chapter 20, Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." If Thomas is blessed, how much more are we? We have not seen the risen Christ. I haven't seen the risen Christ. Maybe you have. That happens sometimes, and I don't deny that. But for most of us, we have not seen the risen Christ. And yet we have believed. We have weighed up the evidence. We've searched the scriptures to see if we think they're true. We have seen the evidence of a life lived in service to Christ. We have seen the evidence of hearts changed by Christ. We have prayed to God in the name of Christ, and we have seen our prayers answered. We have weighed up the evidence. We have opened our hearts to Jesus, and we've decided it's true. Jesus really is our Lord and our God. If Thomas was blessed, how much more are we? Because we believe, even though we haven't seen. Thomas saw Jesus with the holes in his hand and the spear mark in his side. The question is, did he or didn't he put his hand in the holes? We don't know. If I'm going to speculate, I'm going to say no. Because seeing was enough to be there. He didn't need to put his fingers in the hole, his hands on the side. I'm speculating, but that's what I believe, because it was enough. It was enough to see the risen Christ with the nail-pierced hands and feet and the spear-pierced side. So let me conclude here to give a challenge that I think that Thomas would give. And that's the challenge to change. The challenge to go, if we're called to go. The challenge to stay, if we're called to stay. The challenge to not be one of those believers who believes in Christ because you have the pin code to the gate of heaven. And that's enough. And that you're willing to live the life that anyone else would live. A Christian veneer with a secular undertone. There are many people there like that who think, well, if I confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior, I'll go to heaven and now I can just get on with the rest of my life and do whatever I want. But that's only a superficial Christian. Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call that cheap grace. It costs God everything in Christ. And yet we just want the blessings without the challenge of a changed heart. So my challenge to you this morning, how is God calling you, not just in words to confess Him as Lord, but to make Him Lord? Make Him the Lord and Master of our lives. To make every decision in light of what God would want us to decide. To make every action, every thought of our hearts in line with what God is calling us to do through Christ. As you're sitting there, maybe God is putting something on your heart. Or maybe as you go through your week, God will put something on your heart. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to change? Is God calling you to step up from something? Is God calling you to step down from something? How can we reorientate our lives to Christ this week? Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you for the life of Thomas and the example that it is to us. That he doubted. He didn't believe the people that he'd spent 3 years with. He couldn't trust them when they said that they'd seen you as the risen Lord. He had to see it for himself. And Lord, you answered that prayer. You answered that call when he said, I won't believe unless I see. You came to him and you gave him that. You indulged him because of your grace and your love. And Lord, thank you that you've called us in our own individual ways. You've called each of us and you've called us together as a community and a family of your faith. Help us to carry this message into the world as people see the evidence of a changed life in Christ in our hearts. That they see that somehow something different about us, that we've given up everything for the service of Christ, and we are blessed because of it. Help us to appreciate the blessing you've given us and to take up the challenge that you've put before us today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.